Hello and welcome to the Gaffer Takes Fantasy Football Podcast, abridged, reduced, with Craig and Ash.
Hello.
Hello. No ahoy tonight. We're lacking Tom. We haven't even got our stand-in sub Andy. We're later than usual. It's a fucking shambles.
I thought it was going
George
right.
Best.
Yeah, I've realised how much of a shambles it is now you've said it.
Before of our time. No, it's all right. It's just one of those things. But we are here with your weekly fantasy football podcast with some useful stuff. Statistically, when there's one of us missing and there's only two of us, we actually talk more sense.
Yeah, we pull out of the bag, I think.
We tend to actually deliver some helpful stuff when there's two of us.
It depends which two, I think. I think
when that's also true.
I think when it's me and Tom, we sort of go off on a mental wrestling tangent for about 8 hours.
Well, yeah, you do tend to talk wrestling with the two. Maybe we'll actually talk some football.
Unlikely.
God forbid, though, if we get any first-time listeners and they'll be like, these guys talk a bit of sense, they'll tumble next week. What the hell is this?
I'll be like,
nonsense.
Boring fuckers, what are they talking about?
But yeah, game week 7, it's obviously by the time you listen to this, it will be pretty much game week 8 will be amongst us. It is game week 8, isn't it?
It's possible.
Yeah, will be right upon us. Hopefully maybe even Sergio Aguero will have scored. We don't know. But looking back at last week, we had loads of your tweets telling us what went wrong, a few bits of what went right. But we're going to obviously talk about how we've got on and what the general fantasy football is going on in the fantasy world. We're getting a lot of tweets asking us now. People are like, yeah, enough of the jokes, lads. But seriously, tactics-wise, what can I do to get better? We never promised that. We never promised we could help with that. So you're not on your own. That's why we are here. But looking back at the week, scores, obviously I won't go through all the scores because by this point you definitely know them. But looking at the MVPs for the week, Romelu Lukaku got 16 points. Sanchez finally came good and got 20 points. Someone actually tweeted us saying, should I put Sanchez in or should I just stick with Hazard for a week? And it was like, meh. And then obviously Sanchez does the business, so that's a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Sturridge, Rudy Gested, Juan Mata and Virgil van Dijk, all big scorers for the week as well. Do you have any of them, Ash?
No, obviously not.
No, that's the short answer. I've got Van Dijk.
Yeah, he was another player, like classic, I tipped him and then didn't put him in my team.
Yeah, I just knew from his price tag, we've said it a few times, haven't we, but that money, you know, that was something like 11.5 million on a five-year deal.
Yeah.
He was going to Saints to play.
Yeah,
and having seen him in Scotland, he's a very imposing guy and he does pick up 5 or 6 goals. I know up there he picks up more goals, but I think it would translate down here to a good 3-4 goals a season.
Yeah, what?
And he's done it already.
How much is he in this?
He's he started the game at 5.5 million, which is a fairly priced defender, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, but, I think so, yeah.
You know, it's around the kind of Phil Jagielka cost.
Yeah, who's
so
been...
it's around that kind of area.
Yeah, and then Jagielka's managed to get like 1 point every week. He's done a lot every other week, really, I suppose.
I think Southampton has started to find the feet defensively a little bit, haven't they? Because they started the season with injuries and Bertrand was out and they lost Klein.
Yeah.
And they had Yoshida at centre-back with Font, but I don't think that was long-term. And obviously Van Dijk's come in, so I think they will come good. But he scored a goal, maybe that'll stay. I had Lukaku from the beginning of the season. He's been in my team.
Yeah.
And I wildcarded and took him out. Did you see the game, the Everton-West Brom game?
I can't remember.
It was a hell of a game. They were 2-0 down. Kone comes on, and then even though he doesn't change the game, him coming on for some reason, Lukaku then changed the game and just looked incredible. He looked like the player that Chelsea need.
Yeah.
You know,
brutal.
Assists, goals. Off topic slightly, but that still baffles me why his face just didn't fit. I don't think he sold enough jerseys because there's no reason Chelsea wouldn't want Lukaku at their club.
It's weird, isn't it? Because who's their second striker now? Not Falcao. Remy.
Well, yeah, they're the three, aren't they? It's Costa, Falcao and Remy.
Like, what's the difference really between Remy and Lukaku?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
I tell you what, Lukaku's years and years younger, grew up at that club and would be a better sellable asset.
Yeah.
So it makes little to no sense, doesn't it? But Sanchez, a lot of points. I don't know how many people actually had him because obviously he is a lot of money in the game.
Yeah.
Gested, I don't think anyone would have had him. And Juan Mata, maybe is he another one? Is that like, because United, even though... I don't know how long it will last. They're top of the league. They're scoring goals. Is Mata now a viable option again?
He's really consistent. So he's only 8.8 million and his last like few weeks, 14, 7, 6, 7. In fact,
wow,
he's barely had a bad week, actually. He's a really,
really?
Good buy. Yeah,
so he hasn't scored under 5 in a while.
No, they've got coming up Arsenal, Everton, City, Palace. Not the easiest run of games. Whereas they had, people were talking about at the start of the season, what an easy run in they had to begin with. So.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I mean, he's definitely on form. I think there's only...
Yeah, and these...
I was going to say, apart from, there's only Payet, who's in better form out of everybody in the whole league, I think, like statistically.
Yeah. And these are the games, you know, that define whether they're serious title contenders, isn't it?
So yeah.
I'm never a fan of just dropping out players because it's against a big team or because it's a big game. Like, big players play well in big games.
That's true.
If you've got them, you know,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
it's in there. The matters of the and Rooney, you know, Rooney of old. But those players should turn up in those games and get goals.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I always prefer, I'm the other way, though. I prefer having, if someone's got four easy games, as you know, Mata may score in each one of the upcoming games, fair enough. But then, say, Sanchez, if they're playing Newcastle, Southampton, well, not Southampton.
Yeah.
Say Newcastle, Sunderland, whoever, it's going to be a lot easier for him to do it.
But then they're both big, expensive players. I suppose we're talking about if Mata's got four tough games, but you've got, I don't know, another cheaper kind of midfielder, Ross Barkley.
Yeah, on the bench. Yeah, who'd you put on?
In that case, do you leave your really expensive player on the bench and waste money there just because they've got an easier game? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, other kind of headlines for a fantasy football point of view from the week. Spurs obviously gave City a dick in 4-1, which I don't think anyone saw coming.
No, did see that one. It's pretty amazing.
And Harry Kane finally scores as well. And the question is, I guess, Man City-wise, is anyone still on that Man City train? The Sergio Aguero train? You know, is anyone still just desperate in hope? I know Tom is.
Well, I've got £21 million worth of Man City players in my team. I've still got Aguero. In fact, I took a 2-point deduction this week to put De Bruyne in. Although I got rid of
Sanya, yeah.
Sanya.
Do you know what? I put that as well to mention. I think that the Sanya move was a clever move for a while. You were getting a Man City defender at 5 million and they were keeping clean sheets. You've got to know when to shift. And I think it's good for him to go. Same with Gomez at Liverpool and Target at Southampton. They were great first 6 week picks. And now you need to replace them, I think.
Talking of Aguero, their next five games, though, Newcastle, Bournemouth, Man United, Norwich, Villa. I could see him scoring in all of those, to be honest.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's not like they're suddenly an awful team. I don't know. Like, it's the definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over again. And expecting goals. And Sergio Aguero hasn't scored any points for us. So even if Aguero gets a goal this week, say he gets one goal, and everyone goes, yeah, Aguero, I told you. It's like, no, that doesn't make a decision. You could have brought in Jamie Vardy 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and he's obviously a lot of money. So anybody you did bring in would practically be free compared to it, because you could increase the value of one of your other players. You could put another 4 million on.
Sacco scored in that time. Berahino scored in that time. You know, his son at Spurs has scored a couple in that time.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of people who could have done it. So I don't know. I think I'm gonna leave it Aguero. I know Tom's captained him this week with his hashtag balls.
Yeah.
As you've seen, anyone who follows us on Twitter, you'll see the tweet hashtag balls, people's early teams. Tom's gone for Aguero captain. But I've got De Bruyne.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an incredible start, isn't it, to his City career.
He does look amazing. He does really good. I put him in like straight away.
Yeah, I took a punt on him anyway. I know his price looked a bit, but I mentioned that in the blog I did for Fantasy Yerma. That's how you pronounce it in Irish, apparently. I was told to channel my inner Jim McDonald from Corrie.
Oh, I see.
Rather, Fantasy Yerma, which I think is quite good. But yeah, I do a blog for them saying about that. And I think KDB, as I'm now calling him. Do you know what? The person who's hating him being on that form is Raheem Sterling, because all it shows is, actually, fuck, what's he done?
Yeah, the thing is, I think with Sterling, who else was it I was thinking of? It's really similar. I was thinking about how Man City might struggle to score because you've got Sterling. I think he's playing well. He looks good. He's like cutting in and stuff. But he doesn't really score. Like, never throughout his career. He's like Joe Cole. That's good, but you're not getting goals. And then you've got Silva as well. He's brilliant, but doesn't really score. And then who does that leave you with? Aguero has now got to play with his back to goal. And
Navas plays. He doesn't really score.
Yeah. And then, so the only people you've got, you're now relying on De Bruyne and Torre, who's a holding midfielder.
Yeah, so, well, he acts it for them. So, but I think Sterling, I agree, I don't think he's played bad, but De Bruyne's like goals have suddenly made everyone go, hang on a minute, actually, thinking about it, when did Sterling last get some points? Or when did Sterling last get
anything? I don't think
he's... Which is maybe unfair, but...
Yeah, it doesn't seem good value in this at all.
Yeah, it's difficult. We assess them from their fantasy football points. They can be doing plenty for a team without scoring points.
I suppose on the Aguero thing, if he's, what, was it like 11 or 14 or something, 13 million, and Martial is, oh God, was he like 8 or 10?
Yeah, he was, no, he was 8. He was 8 million to start with.
So if he's 8 million, and I imagine he's probably gone up slightly. Yeah. I think of all those weeks, you could have had Martial and probably Vardy as well for the same price.
Well, yeah, you know, a couple of seasons back, it was the City spine was the one to have, wasn't it? You could have, obviously you can't have four of them, but three of them. You could have Kompany, Toure and Aguero. If you had those three all season, they'd have scored you a shed load of points. Yeah. And I guess question is, this season, like, is that spine a, you know, De Gea, Mata, Martial, or Damian, Mata, Martial? That, you know, there's some points there. Because in my wildcard, I brought De Gea straight in.
Yeah.
Because his value dropped as since in the whole, you know, debacle about his transfer.
Yeah.
But, you know, make no mistake, David De Gea is playing every single possible game that he's fit.
Yeah.
So you get a cheaper keeper than you should do. So I brought him straight in. But that man, you know, if Martial can do it, Mata starts playing and De Gea's there, then that could be the new spine for this season, I guess, FPL-wise. I don't know.
It just doesn't seem possible that Man United can be doing this well.
I know. And I can't work it out because they keep showing. You see those stats showing you Louis van Gaal versus David Moyes and they're not that different kind of thing. It's like, well, there is a difference because they're fucking top of the league. Oh, I don't know how.
Saying that, here's a little quiz. Can you tell me their top five highest scoring players?
Man United?
Man United, yeah, guess.
I'm going to go with media darling Chris Smalling.
Yeah, he's one of them.
I'm also going to go with, Juan Mata, presumably.
Yeah, that's two.
Because of that. Is Martial already?
Nope.
No. Oh, Luke Shaw.
Yep.
Damian.
Yep.
And one more. It's going to be another defender, isn't it?
Pretty much. He's not in this as a defender. No, Blind.
Blind, of course.
So they've got Martial, Rooney, Schneidling, Young, Herrera, Yanazai, Valencia, well, they haven't got Yanazai, but on here, and their top five, four of their top five players are basically defenders.
Yeah. Although they have started to score goals.
Yeah.
Now, and Martial has it. Because Rooney, you watch him play sometimes, and you think that man could play for hours and hours and never get a goal.
Yeah.
And then you think, but he is our country's top ever goal scorer, and it's confusing. I don't understand. I get the feeling if he's just hoping, well, suddenly you'll turn on the TV one day and it will line up at right back and no one will bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
And everyone, oh, yeah. Rooney's a right back, isn't he? He plays just in front of the back four and then he's gone to right back and then he'll have the gloves on. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's mad. He just gets deeper and deeper every single time.
Well, one goal against Sunderland in a season is what he's on so far.
Yeah, that's far. Yeah, exactly. He's a bit mad. Other news, obviously, is Sturridge. Is back on the FPL scene and obviously the Liverpool scene, thankfully for Liverpool fans, for the few that still listen after we've berated them and insulted them for a season and a half nearly.
Well, Brendan Rodgers has been doing that for 4 years. So.
Yeah, true. And I think he single-handedly bought Brendan Rodgers some time because people are thinking, all right, then what are they like when Daniel Sturridge plays? Because he's actually decent. But he's still, as we looked at last week, he's still the third most expensive striker on the game at one point.
Yeah, I was really hotly tipping him. I think with him up front, it's going to make a huge difference to them. It's just, I just couldn't put him in my team. 10.5 million.
But then say you've got Aguero and you've got a transfer.
Yeah.
And you just think, swap him out, put Sturridge in. If Sturridge scores a goal and then breaks his legs and goes off, then you put Aguero back in the next week. Because he scores, a bit of a fact for you, he scored 6 goals against Everton across his club career for different clubs. He loves a goal against Everton.
Oh, really?
And he's definitely going to play. So maybe people have done it. And if you're listening to this Saturday morning whilst you put Helen Chamberlain on mute, which is an excellent plan, then, not to look at, by the way, I just mean because her voice is grating, then maybe you'll do it if you haven't made a transfer or you've played your wild card, because he is a hell of a goal scorer. And it's maybe not that much of a risk if you're thinking, put him in, if he gets injured, take him straight out, because he could still get a goal in that time. I don't know.
Yeah, their upcoming games, though, this is the thing again. So when you look at Man City's relatively easy fixture list, and then they've got Everton, Tottenham, Southampton, Chelsea, Palace, Man City, Swansea. God, I don't see them in any of those games.
They could come out of that with 4 points.
Yeah, although saying that, they're probably top of the league by the end of it. Scored 40 goals against Man City.
Yeah, and that would be... It's all right for me, I've got David De Gea, I'm fine. You're the one with Joe Hart.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then other thing, before I go through to our actual league and what we're up to and how we're doing, is Callum Wilson, very sadly, out for 6 months, they're reporting.
Oh, yeah. That is
which is a shame, because I think he was guaranteed an England call.
Yeah.
And I guess the question is, who's the new Wilson? Because he was about 30% pick.
Yeah.
Backing him as they were, you know, Azure last season or Berahino. So, Like, did you have Callum Wilson at any point?
Didn't, no.
No, I didn't have bandwagon either.
No, well, because I went for, right from the start of the season, I went for three strikers who were all at 8 million, didn't I? I had,
Right.
Oh, was it? I had Giroud, Pella, and someone else just went, like, three big-name strikers up front.
Pella was a good chat, because a lot of people overlooked him because of his tail-end form from last season.
Yeah.
Actually got a couple of goals. I've got him in now.
Yeah, and then but I traded down recently, got rid of Giroud and whoever the hell the other one was, and I've got in Aguero and the bloke from Southampton. Oh my god, Watford.
Troy Deeney. Oh, Ighalo.
Yeah, so everyone's got Troy Deeney, but I went Ighalo. Yeah, who seems to be the one who gets all the goals. Yeah.
Yeah, Deeney hasn't scored yet, but yeah. The Wilson one. It's good. It's kind of it's a bit of a shake up because you know when we always say the team start to look a bit similar, and yeah. Then all of a sudden. Wilson, I'm not saying I'm happy he broke his leg. From it. I'm just saying that it makes people change their team up. So I guess people are desperately looking for the new Wilson. And yeah. You either go for what everyone knows and just think, all right, I'll take Vardy, even though everyone's got him, or Berahino, or they go a bit crazy and try and find something else. But I don't know. They might just switch straight to Ighalo, to be honest. You're right.
I think it's
that might be the switch.
I think it's sad for the league because Bournemouth, I thought, looked really good. They play, you know, play really nicely. Hold the ball yep. Well. It's good to know, but I don't know how it's obviously going to affect them.
Without that sort of talisman. Yeah, yeah. I said it before the season. I really like Bournemouth and I hope they do well and want to stay up. And it's just nice having to... I mean, you'd much rather have that than Sunderland in the league.
Yeah.
You know, or thankfully got rid of Hull. But if we could get rid of... if we could get rid of Newcastle, Sunderland and Villa this season.
Yeah, so everyone hopes every year.
They're the three, aren't they? Yeah. Anyone who doesn't want them down is a lunatic. We need to get rid of them. I think some Newcastle fans would take going down if Sunderland came down with them. Keep their derby, go down to have it in another league.
Yeah, well, because Newcastle would come straight back up, wouldn't they?
Possibly. They've got the money.
Yeah, I think when you're in the Championship, it's like when we went down, you just have so much more money than the other teams. I don't think a club like Newcastle would struggle.
Well, no, because their fans will turn up.
Yeah, exactly. So that financially, they can just afford to buy everybody else's best players.
Do you know what? I don't think we've ever had a Newcastle listener fan. Get in touch. Any Geordie fans... Do it privately if you don't admit it publicly. That's fine. But yeah, if you could tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes or email us info@thegaffertapes.com. Like, what's your take on the situation? Do you know your shit, or do you you not know?
I suspect so.
Like when you see Newcastle playing on Sky, does your heart sink a little as well?
I can't.
Because all of us collectively do.
I don't think it's like one of the things like Tottenham fans where they think that they're the fucking best thing ever. And don't realise how dreadful they are. No, because they're always complaining, aren't they? Hate Ashley and everybody else.
True. Spurs fans are like parents who've got a baby.
Yeah.
They think they're good looking, even though everyone else knows that kid's ugly.
Yeah, it's like...
That kid is ugly, and they're just going, look at my cute little baby, putting it on Facebook, and everyone's going, fucking hell, that baby is criminally ugly. That's what Spurs fans are like every time they watch their team, I think.
They're like, no, you should listen to my fantasy football podcast. It's really good.
To all my Spurs mates, yeah. Oh, God. They'll be like, oh, the Arsenal fan's not there this week. It'll be good. It'll just be really fair. They won't mention it. Nightmare. We never claim to be impartial. That's not what we're about here. If you want that, go and listen to another podcast. This has already been more informative than any of our others, so it's all right. But running through our league quickly before we go to a break, quick rundown of the top 10. I don't know if you've looked at our top 10 lately, Ash. We've got three people tied for ninth.
Yeah.
We've got Chateau Neuf, God Modon, and Rips Your Knickers, which is a bit aggressive, sexually aggressive. They're all in equal ninth. And then eighth, we got Fire by Saidi Lugogo, if you remember him. He had two teams, like Tommy Two Teams.
Oh, yeah.
JRB defending still in seventh is Justin Banning. Chris Gibbons is in sixth. He's still there. Deves R, head over heart. He's an ex-leader. He's in fifth. Alex Robertson, a new name, expected to lose. Oh, no, it's not. He's at fourth with 373 points. Isle of Naboombu with Gare Mielder. As you remember the Mielder.
I do, the Mielder dynasty.
Yeah, and then Mielder dynasty in second place is Lady Norwich, John Mielder, the Mieldi.
On 64 points as well, it's unbelievable.
386 points, sorry. 64 for the week. Those two are in second. And then in first place is Challenge Everything, Mitchell Bathurst, which is such a great name. It sounds like someone, an aristocracy. It sounds like from Canada.
Yeah.
Mitchell Bathurst. But the Mieldi sent us a lovely email, actually, just saying who they were. More North American friends, the Mieldi. And actually betting experts. And they've got these books on statistics about what to bet, what smart betting is and all this.
Oh, nice.
That they want to send to me probably to try and save any...
Desperately trying to get you to read it.
If my future children want an education.
Yeah.
They send me it. But they sent a really nice email, actually. They said they'll send us over these books if we give them our address, so we might do. Or our PO, as they said. But really nice to me, old eye. And they're killing it. The Meldai.
They are.
Gare and John. I don't know who's going to win out of the two of them. Maybe we should get them to have their own stakes and they can keep us updated.
Oh, that'd be good.
Maybe if they support different teams, the loser has to wear the opposite shirt.
Yeah, have they said who they support or anything?
Can't remember, actually, because they're from the States. They're from Seattle.
Yeah.
I think it's. So, presumably, they just love Frasier and Nirvana.
Nirvana.
Yeah. Maybe they're like Kelsey. They're the Frasier. They're the Cranes.
Oh, it could be.
They're Frasier and Niles Crane. Who's Frasier and who's Niles? So, John and Gare can fight that out.
Yeah.
That's what cracked it. They're just at home watching Frasier, listening to Nevermind, the album. And that's all they do, watching the Seattle Sounders football team play.
Playing on their Seattle Xboxes.
Seattle. What's that?
Where everything. Isn't it Seattle? Every single thing in the is sponsored by Xbox.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, it might be a different town. Which
No, I recognise that. That ringing a bell, like the shirt and everything. Yeah. The arena.
So, like every, you know, if you're there and you're any sort of sportsman, you can get like Microsoft pretty much automatically sponsor you.
It's the needle, isn't it? The space needle. It's not called that, but the space needle thing in Seattle, the landmark.
The tower thing that spins around.
Used in Sleepless in Seattle, of course.
And Frasier is the logo, isn't it?
Frasier, yeah. Exactly. We've so much Seattle chat.
Yeah.
But when we do the Gaffer Tapes road trip across America, the Gaffer Tapes does MLS for places to sleep.
Are we going to get an email now from them saying, okay, we sent you the book. Also, now we're going to have to send you a fucking atlas, you retards.
Yeah. Seattle, no, you've got it totally wrong, the road trip. But that'd be great. So, yeah, the Gaffer Tapes does MLS. Anyone in America, get in touch. Offer us a sofa. We'll buy your dinner, providing it's affordable, and we'll be there, no problem. Also, we have our, because obviously end of September, we've had September, it's now October.
Yeah.
So we obviously had a Manager of the Month award, knowing that if you get three of them, you do get a Toblerone. It's an almost impossible
theoretical.
Win. Very theoretical. It's a theoretical Toblerone, and it's actually very hard to do. But the Manager of the Month with 184 points for the month is no F in chance, and it's Elaine Govender.
Classic.
The governor.
Yeah.
The governor Elaine. I wonder if that Govender or Govender. I don't know. But either way, it's governor to us. So Elaine the governor on 184 points. Manager of the month. A fair play. Only two more for a Toblerone. And a top scorer of the week is actually quite impressive for game week 7. Was 94 points.
Jesus.
For a team named Lamborghini, as in Troy Deeney.
Oh, nice.
Very clever. Yeah. With James Kerr. Not as clever. Just a normal name, that one.
Yeah.
Bit disappointed. Once I read the team name, I thought, bet it's bloody hilarious guy's done this. And then just James Kerr, which sounds like someone I'd probably get like a quote from.
But surely that's his parents. Like, they weren't very comical, but he's...
Both James and Kerr were his parents doing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're really boring, so he's rebelled against them and he's like a stand-up comic.
He could have been Joseph Kerr or Joe Kerr.
Yeah, oh.
Should have done that.
Yeah.
So, James, good work on the name and the week's points, mate, but... Work on your first name. We need that to improve.
How did he get? Have you got his team in front of you? Do you know how he got?
No, I don't see the actual team. No, but he what got him 94 points?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Actually, that's a good point. I've just got his actual. Didn't do that much research, Ash.
Oh, you didn't know if he had what's his name? Triple captain.
I'm going to assume. Oh, have you used a chip? Good
yeah,
point.
Yeah, Sanchez.
I'm chip three over here.
Are you?
I'm chip full.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. What? But did you? Say that you've wildcarded.
I have wildcarded, yeah.
You and then, Tommy Teacups.
Yeah, but the wildcard was more of a necessity. But Tom, he's not here, we can say it. Tom, the lunatic, has triple captained, I'm pretty sure, this week.
Yeah. Oh, has he? Well, triple captain Aguero?
I think so. I think he's posted it on the Twitter.
Didn't he go so, bench boost or something? No, all out attack.
That's what it is, all out attack, my bad.
Yeah.
But we've talked about it over and over again. Anyone listening, if you're contemplating it, wait for the double game weeks.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And Tom's logic was... yeah, but if I don't catch up now, then I won't ever. 40 points now is worth the same as 40 points later. It don't make a difference.
Well, maybe it does, because maybe he'll just give up.
Well, I hope not. I could do it coming back. But yeah, so that's mental. Don't use your chips. Now, don't listen to Tom, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, he spends all his time out in fucking Spain.
Sunning it up in the Costa del Sol.
Yeah.
But yeah, in part two, it's a bit of a special one this week. It's only me and Ash, it's just going to be a part one and part two. We're going to be going through tweets in Tweets Like Chocolate, and also look at the fixtures, which by the time you listen to this, very, very close. But we might talk about what kind of changes people have made from their Twitter and their tweets, and any questions we're going to be answering them. As a special part two this week, we actually received an Anne Robinson Points of View style audio letter from a rather concerned and angry listener. And whenever we do get anything on our inbox like that, we take it very seriously. So in a Points of View special for part two this week, we do have a letter from one of our listeners. So please listen to that, and we'll be back with you after those serious words.
Hello, brackets ahoy, close brackets. Tom Holmes here, co-host, co-founder of the UK's biggest fantasy football podcast, The Gaffer Tapes. How are you? I haven't been there for a couple of weeks, as you probably know. I was off on holiday, but I did listen to the two episodes that were recorded in my absence, and I have a few pointers, a couple of things that annoyed me that the lads did. Number one, the most obvious one, being that they kept saying that I was in Spain. I was not in Spain. I was in the beautiful Italian island of Sardinia. So that really annoyed me. I wouldn't go to Spain. You know, I'm different. Classier, if anything. So that annoyed me. Cheers. Number two. In, I believe it was the first episode that I wasn't there, you mentioned Lee Sharp. Mentioned Lee Sharp in the episode without any reference to the fact that I told a fantastic Lee Sharp anecdote a few weeks before. That wasn't even mentioned, the fact that I made Lee Sharp laugh out loud. So, yeah, fuming. I was absolutely seething with that. No mention to it at all. Number three, you also mentioned Justin Lee Collins without any reference to the fact that I actually appeared on his radio show. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. That was the gap for everyone to go, fucking hell, that is brilliant. Yeah, I appeared on Justin Lee Collins' radio show, did a 20-minute, had a 20-minute chat with him. He thought I was absolutely hilarious, you know, and he should know, he's a bloody good judge of character, unlike his wife. Number four, you told Cameron Hunt that he wasn't allowed to call himself Chunty. You said you can't give yourself the nickname Chunty. It was actually me that gave Chunty the nickname Chunty. So don't worry, Chunty. I'm there. I'm holding your back, mate. Is that it? That's what you say, holding your back? Watching your back? Staring at the back of your neck? Chunty, so I'm with you, mate. That was me. So that annoyed me as well. That was number four. Number five, you said that I was, out of the three of us, I was leading in fantasy football for the first couple of weeks. That's the quote there. Oh yeah, even Tom was winning for the first couple of weeks. Incorrect. It was actually 4 weeks. That's two couples of weeks. So yeah, I saw red when you said that. And number six, the final one, you kept repeatedly slagging me off and saying that I knew nothing about football. Which is probably true, that one. So cross that off. But that's five things that annoyed me by listening to you. That's why I shouldn't take holidays in Sardinia, not Spain. So but yeah, anyway, normal what's it called, fucking hell, I can't talk, normal stuff will resume from next week. So I will be back, and then I'll whip them boys back into shape. But thanks to Andy Gibbons for filling in for me so fantastically and being a lot better at quizzes. And thanks for just being gorgeous as well. He's a lovely, lovely looking lad. But yeah, I will be back next week and normality will continue. But thanks very much. And boys, just buck your ideas up because I'm absolutely fucking seething. Okay, thanks very much. T-Dog out.
Hi, it's Ash here reporting live ahead of the Australia-Uruguay match. I saw a guy in an Australian football shirt and had a quick chat with him, and he's actually a big FPL fan. So hi, this is Logan.
Hello, ahead of
the game. Yeah, we're here from the gaffer tapes. So what's
I thought you said you're from Guardian.
Well, similar, the gaffer tapes. Have you ever heard our podcast?
You're the fucking Australian racist guys that we were on last week.
No,
I started ripping into that kid about, you know, his fucking stats degree or whatever. You guys are a fucking joke. And we had like that one monkey that came on there and he like started doing the most ridiculous accent as well and sound like fucking Mick Dundee. He was retarded.
So you weren't a fan?
Not so much. Well, I was up until that point. Well, actually, no, I never even heard of me up until that point. No. It's just all wrong.
Do you think it's made quite a big shockwave in Australia, the amount of racism?
Mate, it was on fucking House of Parliament the other day. It was fucking stupid. Like, honestly, we're by nature not really a racist country. Everybody knows Australians aren't racist. And so, like, you know, how can you have another nation just jump on board here and rip into a guy that's essentially another white guy? This is stupid.
But he did, in Craig's defence, he did do a good Australian accent, no?
No, he didn't. He sounded like a really upper-middle-class English guy doing an Australian accent.
Did you say it was more South African than Australian?
There was a little hint of that in there as well. He had a little bit of bokeh in there. But no, it's just all wrong, mate. You can't make fun of another man's accent. What if you did a Chinese accent? I guarantee you, the Chinese guy that you'd be interviewing right now would have a fucking machine gun right to your head so fast.
Okay, so trying to quell the race storm that's erupted around the gaffer tapes. In fairness, I think they did help the guy with his problems, though. You know, they've tried to help him with his career and getting to university.
Oh, yeah, well, he's a shoo-in at university now, isn't he? Because everybody knows him as that racist victim kid.
So, there you have it. The gaffer tapes, helping international relations.
Hello and welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with Craig, Ash and the not-so-present Tom. But as you just heard, although Tom has been absent for a few weeks, he has made his thoughts very...
He has enjoyed his time in Spain.
He loves Spain, that lad.
Yeah.
And how he's enjoyed it in his absence. But so we can only apologise to Tom for hurting his feelings, if we have done that at all. And we made various mistakes. And I promise... if Lee Sharp is ever mentioned again, then we'll let Tom tell his anecdote. But we cannot promise that you'll laugh at that as heartily as Lee Sharp did. He gets very Pat Partridge-esque about that anecdote, isn't he? Very protective.
I can't remember it. Did he tell it on the podcast?
He told it on the podcast, and it was something about in front of Lee Sharp. I'm not going to do
it.
Oh,
my God. He's going to be fucking furious. We can't even remember it.
If I tell his anecdote for him, he'd be livid. Because I'd butcher it. He would be livid. So no Lee Sharp. And to be honest, right, he complains in that letter about the Justin Lee Collins anecdote.
Yeah.
The reason I didn't mention that when we talked about Justin Lee Collins is not only for our own, you know, on the off chance anyone actually listens to this, we could be in trouble legally, but also because he made an ass of himself on Justin Lee Collins' radio show.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, he was too good.
Well, no, he was good the first time, and then he did it again and was awful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so he had a nightmare where there were loads of in-jokes from all the other listeners who were doing the same kind of competition as him, and Tom had never listened to it. So they had all these, like, hilarious banter jokes, and Tom was like, yeah, and didn't know what was going on. So, oh, you bastard. So, yeah, anyway, I did it. I was sparing him. I was giving him mercy.
Yeah.
Next time when we go through your tweets, we will have Tom to sing in his angelic chocolate voice that he has. But for now, we're just going to go through tweets and tweets like chocolate. So some of your tweets, some of your questions. First couple of tweets we had that I'm going to read out are both Aguero related. So we've already kind of covered it, but we'll mention it again. Gabriel James Aaron, a regular tweeter and listener, said, is Aguero still a viable captaincy option? And at the naked pun, Stephen Carty, Todd Carty, was a little less friendly when he just said, will Sergio Aguero score between now and the end of time? He's still Bookie's favourite to be top scorer in the Premiership.
Jesus Christ. Oh, I suppose a lot of people, remember at the start of the season, there was that thing where you bet on who you think was going to be top goal scorer, and then you got £1 or £2 as a free bet.
£2 free bet every time they score.
Who did you go for? Did you go for Aguero?
No, I had Benteke.
Oh, Benteke. Yeah, I think probably a lot of people went for Benteke and Aguero, and now Paddy Power have lost zero money on it.
Well, Benteke was out at 14-1, as was Harry Kane. But Benteke scored 2 goals and got an injury. I'm still confident he'll score 10 goals to get me my money back.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right.
So I'm not bothered.
I think Aguero will come good.
He's got to, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'm going out there saying it. It's a risk saying that the best team in the country, their best striker, is going to do well.
That's what I mean. Like, so all the things about Willie come good. He's still the best striker in the country.
Yeah.
The fact.
Yeah, playing for the most attacking side.
Yeah, exactly. Justin R. Banning, JRB from the top 10, he said a bit of wildcard chat and strategy perspectives around the table wouldn't go unappreciated. But we know that, Justin. If you want that, mate, listen to the Sunday supplement because you fucking ain't getting it here. No, I'm joking. Well, wildcard chat, mate. I've wildcarded. And Tommy Tea Time, he's wildcarded as well. It's just your man Ash here.
I think wildcard right at the start for the cash or wildcard at the end for some sort of mental double game week bonus. Because now you may as well just wait till the transfer window because you get
isn't there another wild card?
That's what I mean. So wait till that wild card comes along.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know about now because the
What's the logic in that then? Why not now?
I just don't think it's worth it. You may as well. You're going to get more value out of it. Go for some mental double game week chip wild card.
Just throw in the double game week players.
Yeah, I think now unless your team is completely mental and you're completely out of it, just take a. Save up a transfer, take an 8-point hit, and you can make swap 4 players around anyway. That's pretty much going to change most people. A lot of the people who have wildcarded, I don't think their team's particularly like impressive, the people that have done it, because you're really just then picking people who were on form over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, if you're not doing any particular purpose. I think a lot of people are scared to take points hits, aren't they? They think, oh, why would you lose 4 points? But I do it reasonably regularly, and it didn't harm me. I had a decent year last year.
Yeah.
And I took points hits. I think as long as you're clever about it.
Well, saying that, I did lose to you by 3 points last year. But I've taken, I think, something like 20 points of deductions already this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're listening to this, and if you're on the website now, or luckily there's this thing called pause and download, you can listen to it whenever you want. in the past, some people do, apparently. Then if you're thinking, like, how many points hits should you take compared to other people, you can see it in someone's history, can't you? So if you go on to the people above you in the league, and if they're taking a lot of hits to get above you, or people in the top 10 are taking a lot of points hits, then maybe think about reassessing your tactic.
Yeah.
And have a look at that, because it's not always a bad idea, to be honest with you. We had the whole, Tom tweeted that guide. He learned how to save a JPEG, which I was impressed with. It was one of the proudest moments for me.
Well, he didn't take a photo. We don't know that he didn't take a photo of his screen with his phone and then email it back to himself.
You'd have got strobing. We'd have seen it, surely.
Yeah, maybe.
But he gave us a click guide to wankerism, to click wankerism, because there's been so much confusion. Ever since, on about episode 3 of the first series, we accidentally said click wanker. In fact, it's only like a 2-click wanker thing. And then people were like, are you a 0-click wanker? Are you a 2-click wanker?
I don't think so, because I think he's got it wrong.
I think he's right. I think if you're 1 to 50, you're a no-click wanker.
Isn't that? But it says 1-click, doesn't it?
No, it says no-click on the guide.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, Johnny knows.
But anyway, we had a tweet on that note from Chris. Chris Novaks. He sounds like the quarterback at high school. He tweeted us and said 8-click, and I'm lucky it isn't 11. Shameful. So he's an 8-click wanker, and lucky it's 11. 11 is obviously the worst click wanker in our game that you can get.
Yeah.
But yeah, feel free to tweet us what click wanker you are. Hashtag click wanker, because I'm sitting on a 6-click wanker. Tom's an 8-click wanker, and you're a no click wanker.
Little Johnny no clicks.
You are little Johnny no clicks. You're doing all right. We had a tweet from a guy called That Sabs.
Oh.
Sabs is back.
Yeah.
Sabs tweeted us, lads, where's Max the German? We've never seen the bloke, only heard him on the pod. I have my theories about him. Is he real?
How can he question the authenticity of Max the German?
I know. And I genuinely think he thinks it was Tom putting on an accent.
Oh, I see.
And so if you're a new listener to this series, then basically a friend of the pod, he did the World Cup specials last year. If you look through the episode titles from last season, there's one that just says Max gets naked or Max the German. But he's been on a couple of times. He's a Dortmund fan, am I right?
Yeah.
Very funny guy. He's mad. And he just took his top off during one pod and he's gone down and gaffer taped folklore. But he is real, Sabs, and we even tweeted a photo to prove who he is, where he sat next to a scared-looking me. if you want to know about more about Sabs, then come to our FA Cup final meet-up in May. Not from South Africa, that's unrealistic. And it would be weird if you did come, quite frankly, Sabs, as welcome as you are. But other people will come along, and we'll get him back. Let's get him back on the pod sometime. We'll interview him.
Yeah, yeah.
If he's even playing this year, I don't know. We had a tweet from Fantasy Yerma, the blog, a huge FPL account, really helpful stuff. I write a blog for them, and they actually have other actual useful stuff as well. They said the potential podcast, the Gaffer Takes Extra Time with Justin Lee Collins, is just wrong. Just wrong. Well, I'll let you know that's in the later stages of development. We actually like it very much. A tweet from Nino, who said, is a punt on Berahino wise, do you reckon, with Benteke out? I said that it might be, because he doesn't seem to mind animosity, and he bloody scores.
Yeah, that's true.
He doesn't seem to care, though, does he?
No.
You'd have thought to put him off, but he doesn't give a shit. He's still scoring.
Yeah, no, he doesn't seem to care about anything, really.
No, particularly West Brom, or their fans.
Exactly. like sticking to his guns about things.
Yeah, he is a man of little to no, zero principle, isn't he?
Yeah, and that is it. I'm definitely never playing again. Oh, yeah, I'll play, but I'm leaving. But no, I'm not. I definitely want to go to Tottenham. I've got to go. Christmas rolls around, I'm not going to fucking Tottenham.
He did a whole, like, it was almost like a political, no, power to the people. But yeah, all right. Okay, you've twisted my arm. Isn't it players like him that if your club, you find out you're signing them, you kind of go, oh, he's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, but I think no one cares. Like, no one's that much of a nightmare, I don't think.
No, if their talent's there, then you don't. Well, apart from Adebayor.
Oh, yeah. But then was thinking, when Villa got linked with them, Villa earlier in the season got linked with Berbatov and Adebayor.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be a well good combo. Because they're both so fucking lazy and mental. It would probably work with the nutcase manager they've got. Be a pretty good dream team.
Sherwood's useless. Yeah. Sherwood would get Paul Merson out of retirement if he could.
Sherwood's quite good at motivating people. So those two, I reckon for 6 months.
Is he, though?
Yeah, I think
he's
so.
Like the Emperor's he's the Emperor's new clothes, Tim Sherwood.
Yeah, he's there. Does he still wear his...
doing.
Does he still wear his gilet?
He does still wear his gilet, yeah. And he's there chasing around Adebayor. He's got Rudy Gestede, who looks pretty dangerous in the air.
Yeah.
That goal against Liverpool, he bust a gut to break through, run a few yards, power in a header, and there's no way Adebayor would have scored that goal. Not in a million years. And yet he wanted to have Berbatov, Berbatov's a bit different because the guy's still class.
Yeah.
But Adebayor, he's a lunatic, Tim Sherwood. He's convinced the world. And he had the cheek to come out and say in the press, like, do you know what? It's going to be a tough battle, but I think we can keep this side up. Of course you can keep the side up! You fucking idiot! But since the Villa fans gone, yeah, to be fair, he is keeping us up in the league. You've been there forever, you moron! It is ridiculous. I hate it when managers convince everyone they're doing a good job when there's zero proof of it whatsoever. Yeah, anyway, enough of that. But then that's probably the same thing annoyed you about Allardyce. Allardyce would say, keeping this team in the league.
Yeah,
Village, we're third.
Yeah.
A bit of ambition, some good signs, and actually, no. Coming 17th wasn't all we could achieve.
Well, it's the same as, I suppose, it's like a version of Wenger syndrome. I mean, it's the best we can hope for is just fourth. That's the height of our ambition. Well, I did keep Arsenal in the league this year. Oh, yeah, cheers, buddy.
His is more mental because it's not like it was, listen, my predecessor did very well. You are the predecessor, you idiot. Like, you won the league. You can't pretend it never happened. There's photos. There's photos of you holding the trophy. Makes no sense. Anyway, I'm getting irate. But this will cheer me up because we had a tweet from Dave Matteo saying that my Australian accent was a bloody great accent and that he would vote for us in the Football Blogging Awards based solely on my accent. So, good news.
Well, you wouldn't have heard earlier in the pod, we had... I met a man when I was at the rugby and he gave a review on your Australian accent. So, when you listen back to the pod, that's in there. Oh. Yep.
Is he an Australian man?
He's an Australian who I met, and he happened to be a fan of our podcast.
Well,
and he gave some feedback on your amazing accent. He was pretty pleased.
He's a brother from another Sheila.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy knows the score. And because of material like this, where we just talk about this, Stim Biscuit, Stimmers, tweeted us, saying that the pod has become an Alan Partridge meeting. Ashes, Australia, my kitchen is the ruling one, is the new Monkey Tennis. I think he's probably quite right, to be fair. And then Diamond Dan, at My Name is Dan, his FPL tweet, I quite like it. He's gone this weekend. Mane as triple captain, that's how I roll. Against Chelsea away. Mental.
It depends. Well, big time depends on whether they play Ivanovic or not. If they're playing Ivanovic, it's done. That's it. 1,000 points.
I don't understand what happened. He went from being Dolph Lundgren and Universal Soldier to Basil Fawlty.
Yeah, turned into Pedro Pelé.
He looks like he's carrying a pile of plates every time he defends, and I don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think if he plays, I think that could be like one of the picks of the season.
Serious question. How's he still starting? Two questions. One, how's he still starting? Two, why do people still have him in their FPL teams, knowing that he shouldn't be starting?
I can't think anybody's still got him in their team. And I really don't know. They must be hoping that it's going to change every week. I think he's going to drop him. I think he will this week. He's got to have changed around, doesn't he? Who's the other left-back they've got?
Well, he's at right-back.
No, but I mean, who's the... They've got Aspilicueta, but he normally plays on the left. So you can move him to the right.
Yeah, exactly.
And who's the guy they've got left-back who just cost them 20 million?
Yeah. They've got the depth. That's why I don't understand. But yeah, I don't know. It's a mad one. But he's gone, Diamond Dan's gone Mane as triple captain this week, which is pretty mental, if I'm honest. And to be honest with you, Dan, even if Mane scores, I still think it's the wrong decision because of double game weeks. But we can only say that so many times. People ignore us. And it's people like you, Dan, that get us to read our tweets. So bloody fair play to you, mate. Oh, sorry, I've gone back into it. Fucking hell, I can't help it. And we also have a shout out for, this is on your one, Ash, for Bernadette. Is that right?
Yeah.
Chris Bernadette.
At the weekend, me, Max the German, James, right.
Did that really happen?
Pardon?
This actually happened, this one.
This actually happened at the weekend. Me, Max the German, James, friend of the show as well, who you beat in a...
Derby fan,
yeah. Well, allegedly.
Alleged Derby fan, yeah.
Yeah, we're in Dublin, having a drink in a bar, and there was a Irish lady in there, and on the back of her phone, she had a Borussia Dortmund sort of sticker on the back of it. Or it was like a phone case or whatever. Obviously, Max is a Borussia Dortmund fan.
Yeah.
So he said, "Oh, are you a fan of Dortmund?" And she's an Irish lady, and she was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm the head of their fan club, the Dublin one." She was fucking mental. She knew more about football than anybody I've ever met. She was showing us pictures on her phone. She was like, "Yeah, I'm quite a big fan. Really, really modest about it." She was like, "Oh, yeah, I am." I was talking to Max like Max knew infinitely more than she did about football, right? And she was going to Max, "Oh yeah, look, here's a picture. Pictures of her and Royce, of all the Dortmund fans hanging out. Picture of her and, what's the old, their old manager who just left?
What, Klopp?
Klopp. Pictures of her and Klopp just like hanging out."
How old is she? Because I'm picturing Mrs. Doyle from Father Ted.
No, not no.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Like unbelievable. So they go out there like 5 times a year. Incredible. She's built this whole Borussia Dortmund super fan club. If you're a Dortmund fan anywhere in the world, hit them up on Facebook.
What the fuck is the Dortmund fan club in Dublin?
Oh, I don't know, but it's mental. It's the most, like, the pictures of every time they go, like, the players are meeting them. It's crazy. And she knew, I don't know how the hell she knows so much about it, everything. Like, every stat of everything that's ever happened is incredible. And obviously Max was like, "This is the best thing I've ever, you're the best person I've ever met in my life."
The thing is, Irish football is obviously so unappealing that you may as well support a German side because that's as foreign as English football.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Another country.
Yeah.
Just because we speak language.
I forgot to ask how she originally started supporting them, but she is a mega super fan. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason why you shouldn't pick. Why should you pick the English league if you're Irish? Like, pick any league.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know anything about Irish football, but I have bet tonight on Irish football. So Sligo Rovers versus Galway United, mate. I need over 2.5 goals in that game.
I was talking about Seattle earlier, and when we were in Dublin, I realised that my world knowledge of geography is purely based on football teams. And because they essentially don't have any in Ireland, I guess there's Shamrock Rovers. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, Shamrock Rovers are real, yeah.
Yeah, but because they don't like compete, you never see them in Europe or whatever. I don't know where anything is. Like other countries, you know where the cities are because you've seen the football.
Yeah.
But
my knowledge of flags and capitals is largely because of football.
Yeah. And until now, maybe some more American, like the MLS is on a bit more and I've got into the NFL, I'm starting to know more about that. But it's the same. Like, I wouldn't really know where Seattle is considering how famous it is and how much I know about it. But if they had a football team, if the Seattle Sounders played in the Champions League, I'd know everything about it.
Yeah. I mean, they do have quite a big NFL team.
Yeah.
But I suppose we're not into it that much yet. We're all right.
Yeah.
You know, my knowledge of flags and capitals is purely based on football.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's all right. Still football learning by FIFA.
Yeah.
Playing games of FIFA, there it is. Have a quick look. Obviously, by the time you listen to this, it'll either be this morning or early tomorrow, the fixtures. Or if you listen to this next week, then it'll just be like being in a bloody time machine talking about fixtures. But the standout games, I guess, this week, Chelsea-Southampton, there's one there. Some people, including Diamond Dan, fancy Southampton for an upset there. But that's very doable, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, like I said earlier, it depends what team. I think if Chelsea change their team round, Southampton might be in trouble. But I've got three Southampton players in my squad, so I think it's doable.
Yeah, last week I said I thought Stoke at home to Bournemouth would get a result. Annoyingly, they didn't quite keep a clean sheet, but they did get that win with Juf scoring, which we said they might. They're away at Villa this week, Stoke at Villa, and I think they might add to Villa's. They're not playing well, Stoke. They're only one position above them, but yeah. It's already a must-win game, to be honest with you. Maybe it's more wishful thinking for me. And Bournemouth at home to Watford, I think that could be a standout 0-0, that game.
Yeah, I think so now.
Yeah, game could have with Wilson out. I watched Watford Palace at the weekend. That was only just a 1-0.
Really?
Yeah, I think that game might have 0-0 over it. And I've actually brought in Francis, the Bournemouth defender, into my squad. I don't know if I'll start him, but he's very cheap and is a reasonably high scorer. But Bournemouth at home are solid. That's a 0-0 written all over it, all over for me. And what about you, Laura? Where's Sunderland? Surely that's your week on week off method. It's time to win now, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I saw loads of people. It's a saying, like triple captain Payet. But our away form's obviously really good. But our form against rubbish teams isn't very good.
No, it's not.
So don't know which one. We seem to be good, basically. If the other team's got the ball, then we counter-attack. And we're so efficient at scoring. Like our strike rate is, 40% or something stupid. So we're really good. But then I think away at Sunderland, we're going to have the ball more.
Yeah.
And then we really struggle to break teams down. So then we might get done on the counter-attack. But then are you really going to get done by Southampton? Sunderland? I don't know. I could see it being like 0-0.
You think so? You think it'd be a shocker?
I don't know. Yeah, it could be. Because it depends what they do. If they go all out attack to try and beat us, then I think we'd win. But I can't see them doing that.
Have you got any special secret up your sleeve changes for this game week or not? You're top 50. Business as usual for you, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's back. No, I still haven't done mine yet. I'm still...
Tinkering. Ranierying.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Still to pull the trigger yet.
I've done it twice this week, but I think I'll look again Saturday morning.
Yeah. The only thing I've got is I'm strongly thinking about getting rid of Montero. I think he looks really good every time I see him, but just never scores any points.
Yeah, he is a very, very good player, but I don't know if he's quite added goals to his game yet. I don't know. Yeah. But, he's a bit of an anomaly fantasy football wise because it's annoying because his performances should get better points than they actually get.
Yeah, but I don't know who. And then for 6 million in midfield, I don't know who there is. Yeah. You haven't got, I suppose, Barkley's like 7, isn't
Barkley's, it? Barkley's there. I don't know. Yeah, Barkley's there. Oh,
but then they've got Liverpool, Man United, Arsenal the next three games.
Yeah,
it's not nice.
Well, your tip at Spurs just got Dele Alli's just got an England call up, hasn't he? So,
oh yeah, that's true. Oh, and didn't he score again? He scored midweek.
Maybe he's there and thereabouts to be looked at as well.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout.
But tweet us anyway your teams as you have been and what points they get as well. Obviously, hashtag balls is as we're recording. We've had loads already at the Gaffer Tapes. Keep tweeting them and tweet us your points as well. How you're getting on? Last week was the first time I could actually even slightly be happy with my points at over 60. Hopefully, there'll be more of the same this week. Any betting clips, anything like that. Email us if you don't really do Twitter, info@thegaffertapes. We had an email, like I say, from the Elder Brothers. If anyone wants directions to the Dortmund fan club in Dublin, then give us a shout. We'll get you there. Or photos of Max the German. We really do cater to absolutely anything. Tom will be back next week. It is a normal service resumed, which Tom really couldn't remember that phrase at all in his ridiculous points of view letter, but he got there eventually. We'll be back with all of that. And obviously, we'll be tweeting throughout all of Game Week 8. And there's no... When's the next Friday night game, Ash? I keep looking every week thinking, shit, when is it?
I don't know. I feel like there's going to be one every week, but I haven't seen...
There will be one eventually, but we'll keep you abreast of all that and anything else.
Podcast that's released at midnight on Friday. They're real helpful.
It was unavoidable. We still gave you some info. There's still some in there. Still some of your tweets. Still some shout-outs. And still some bloody hypothetical Toblerones thrown out. And on that note, that's about all we got time for this week, isn't it, Ash?
Yep, we're off.
But we'll be back with Tom next week. But like I say, tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes email us all that information. And there's still time to join our league if your mates want to join in. We run an open league that you can get in at any point at the Gaffer Tape. So have a look at that. But for now, and game week 7-8, that's all we've got time for. So thank you very much and goodbye.